to another episode of Kane Collects. And as always, I appreciate everyone listening and anyone that's told a friend or family member about the podcast. It's been fun. I love doing it. I tell you guys this every week, but it's all about collectibles, and I'm not an expert or anything like that. I just love the world of collectibles. I love talking about it. I love bringing you guys interviews and insight and educating you and myself along the way. So appreciate it. Download for free on Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts, Amazon, Apple, Google, all that good stuff. So before I get to my guest here, I've been doing this all month. I've decided to, try to help out local businesses and card shops and toy shops or whatever. This month, I've been spotlighting the Collector's Arena. It's a card shop in Chesterfield Township. The address is 47043. A great card shop. They have monthly card shows there with not just sports card, but TCG as well. If you want to check them out or give them a phone call at 586-940-5598, they're always looking for vendors. Or if you just want to buy singles or boxes or, hobby, retail, whatever, check them out at www.collectorsarena.net as well. So, check them out. Anyways, let's get to my next guest here. I'm going to bring on the president of AMT Memorabilia, Adam Michaels. Adam, thanks for joining me, man.
Kang, thanks for having me, dude. I appreciate it, man. And I'm sorry we couldn't do this earlier. I know I've been trying to make this happen, but super pumped and super pumped that we were able to do this. And thanks for the opportunity.
No problem. It's quite all right, man. I get busy. People know what I do during the day, producing the show Monday through Friday. We're in the middle of football season, so I get busy as well. So it's not just you. I totally understand. And we've been kind of just touching base back and forth for a little bit, and finally we're able to get a time here during this week and do it. Because I've been looking forward to doing this one too, Adam. We met a few months ago at a trade night through a mutual friend, card shop owner. And, we got to talking it'd be great to have you on the podcast. And, you said, yeah, it'd be great to come on and talk about what you do. Because I think you come in with a really cool perspective. For those that don't know AMT Memorabilia, you do breaks and you do consignment. Now, we'll get to each one individually, but let's start with the breaks, because you've been doing breaks since like 2016. Is that right?
Yeah. So I started doing breaks in 2016. I actually started doing UFC breaks. So I'm still a big UFC fan, but that's kind of how it all started. And it was kind of like in Facebook groups and things of that sort. And just because no one was really doing it, it was super small niche kind of market kind of a thing. And it had nothing to do with money or anything of that sort. It was just, I was a big UFC guy. I wanted to collect my favorite fighters, and others wanted to collect their favorite fighters as well. And, it was just a way of like, hey, I want to collect my guys' cards, and, doing so in a perspective of ripping more than one box or a couple packs and doing like case breaks and stuff like that. And from there, just kept growing. And before long, it wasn't just UFC. Then it was basketball and football and sports that I grew up collecting and things of that sort. But and now here I am today, just doing this. Been doing it a long time. Been doing this on eBay for about 7 years now. We are considered one of the largest breakers on eBay, and we specialize in what are called player breaks and do all different sports, non-sports, different things. And large breaks are kind of what we do. It's, I've kind of talked to you before of product like Bowman Chrome Baseball. I mean, we rip 10 cases like for each break, not 10 packs or 10 boxes or anything like that. So we open up 120 boxes for every break, and we went through like 70 cases.
That's a ton of cards and a ton of packs, man.
So we went through like 70 cases in the first couple of weeks of the release. So that's my day-to-day operation. And it's just every product times 10 kind of a thing. So it's a lot of fun, and I get to do it every day. So
first of all, you've been doing it pre-pandemic, so kind of before it was cool, which is all nice to know. You know what I mean? Like you just mentioned, you started doing it because you liked UFC. You like, and by the way, that wasn't cool. You know what I mean? Like you liked UFC, you liked certain fighters or whatever. So you were doing it before the whole boom. And then on top of that, though, can you explain, just for the people that don't know, that are just kind of tuning in, maybe collect other things, what a break is? Kind of simplify it for people that don't know what a break is.
Yeah. So there's different, whether it's called a box break, case break, break, they're all under the same umbrella of things. And every break is different, whether you do a team break, a player break. I mean, there's bunch of different things, but essentially you take a product, could be any product, any sport, anything of that sort, could be for one box, could be for multiple boxes, could be for multiple cases. And in the reference I gave, it was 120 boxes. And it's a way to collect just your favorite player or players or favorite teams or however the different breaks set up. So the example I always give, an easy one, is like LeBron James. If your favorite player is LeBron James and you don't really care about anyone else on the Lakers, like an Anthony Davis or an Austin Reeves or anything of that sort, and your sole reason for wanting to collect or, you know, buy cards to resell or whatever it is, you know, you're just looking for LeBron James, you can just buy LeBron James in those however many boxes we're opening. And it could be at the cost of like one box or two box, and but you get all LeBron James cards for all 20, 100, however many boxes it is. So it's just another way of collecting and anything of that sort, which is, you know, cool. But then you can also look at it the other way of, hey, I'm a Austin Reeves fan. I don't necessarily have the money to buy the Lakers all the time because of LeBron, because of Magic Johnson and Kareem and all these, and Shaq and all these, you know, Hall of Fame caliber players and things of that nature. Austin Reeves is just my favorite player. And that's another way where people can join in. They're paying nowhere near the amount, you know, what the Lakers or some of these other teams would go for in case breaks or box breaks or stuff like that. You know, you could join a big break like that for $5, $10, things of that sort, and just have fun. It's just another way of having fun in the hobby, you know, in hopes that you hit cards of guys that you collect or cards that you're looking for.
Well, and do you do them by like teams and divisions and conferences as well, things like that?
So there's other ways of doing it. I specialize in doing player breaks.
Okay.
There's a lot more work that goes into it because essentially, you know, a sport break is there's 30 spots, there's 30 teams or 32 teams depending on where what you're breaking. You know, sometimes we have checklists of 400 players, you know, and that's just for one break. And there could be 300 people that buy into this break for with 400 players into it. So it's just something to an extreme. It's just another way, you know, there's some people that only do team breaks. There's some guys that only do divisions. Some guys prefer players. It's just, you know, there's many different ways of joining case breaks and box breaks, which is another, a fun thing that, you know, you can do within the hobby. But, something that I've always done, and similar to UFC, because there's no teams or anything really. If that's true, there's just kind of, you know, weight classes and stuff like that. But realistically, you sell only the player or only the fighter. So I kind of got into that early and I kind of enjoyed it. And, you know, it just worked its way to where it is now.
Okay, that makes sense then. Especially starting off with UFC to do. So basically what you do is you check out the checklist, you let people know who's in it and then what's available. And then you price it accordingly to probably the most valuable, cost the most, and the least valuable player would cost the least, right?
Yeah, so how we actually do it, because we break exclusively on eBay, we actually let the people decide on what they think that these spots are worth. So, I mean, there's many times where some spots, the first go-around might go for $10 or $15, and then they're like, oh my goodness, they're in so many subsets, and I can hit so many of these cards and things, and then they're, you know, like a $70 spot, and the same goes the other way, where you know, it could be a big-time rookie, has a good week or something of that sort, where it's a $70, $80 spot, and then something happens, maybe they get injured or something like that, and then the next week it's $30 or $20. So I enjoy it because it just, the people decide what it's worth. You know, you get to, you know, figure it out. Everyone has the same chance to walk away with that big name or whoever they're looking for just based on their bid. You don't have to log in all at the same time and, like, be the first one to grab it, so... With us selling on eBay, just a fun way, you know, and it kind of, in my opinion, is just a fun process in part of it. You know, not only do you have to try to win the spot, hopefully I pull your spot, you know, pull the cards you're looking for of your spot. So just another fun way of, you know, enjoying the hobby and things of that sort.
Well, like, so like, well, you mentioned though, some of these, let's say baseball, for example, has like a ton of players, right? Like, Do you possibly sell all these like spots, or like what happens to the guys that no one knows about and no one wants? Like what happens?
We like to do these breaks with so many cases, and I like to price these things like so low. So you know, I can't say that we've never, ever not sold someone kind of thing. I list everyone who's on the checklist. And, you know, the way I look at it, if they don't sell for $2 in a 10 case break, you know, no one wants them for $2, then, you know, I'm not walking away with the, you know, the Aaron Judges or the Otanis or the Michael Jordans of the world kind of a thing. But, you know, it for sure can happen. But, you know, usually with these, you know, our big breaks and stuff of that sort, it's people look at it like, hey, this is the cost of a retail pack or something. You know, you never know. And then there's okay. So many opportunities and things of that sort.
Okay. All right. Then that makes sense. Yeah. Cause I was gonna say, cause you are ripping, not like you said, you're not ripping, oh, here's two blasters. You know, you're ripping cases, no. Which is a ton of
hobby cases, not blaster cases, not mega cases, not any of that. Like the thousands and thousands of dollars worth of product every day, gets ripped and you know, it's all, it happens, you know, thing. It's crazy sitting down. Cause I've been doing it for so long of like, man, all this goes into it and everything like that. And yeah, it's just, that's what it's been every day. And, you know, there's some days where we rip like 15, 20 cases, you know, other days we might do like 5 or 6 or 7. And, but again, not talking about packs or boxes or anything, like the amount of waste I've gone through of empty wrappers and plastic off the boxes. It's probably a number that I don't really want to think about, but it's for sure. It's up there, man. It's up there with the amount of packs I've ripped. So,
I mean, the cool thing I think about breaking for the breaker is like, I think part of the fun is like, you know, it's kind of lost nowadays because, you know, things get really expensive, and this is a more, you know, less expensive way to get cards and into, you know, brands and things that you can't normally afford, but you don't get to open up the packs, but you or whoever you're hiring to do it gets to open up all these packs, whether, you know, I know the cards aren't for you, but you get to actually, that's part of the fun for me is opening up the packs. Now they may not be fun after you open up like, you know, 10 cases or whatever. Like you ever get a cramp, you ever get tired, like you're, you know, you, the skin starts wearing off your thumbs. I opened up the other day, Adam, I opened up, this is a while ago, maybe a month ago, one of those like Haunted Hoops things. You know what I mean? They're like the cheap ones from Costco or Sam's Club or Walmart or whatever. But it was like the big one. It was 90 packs. And I was like, I got to tell you, 90 was a lot. I was like, I couldn't.
Your shoulders kind of, depending on my how thumb. Big those sprays. Oh, yeah. No, people ask me all the time, you know, if my hands are cramping up or anything. I don't know. I must be doing something like correctly or something, but thankfully my hands have never been. It's always like my shoulders personally. And, you know, but I'm doing this for so long. You know, that's the one thing that I wish, I still kind of like had that thrill for, and don't get me wrong, opening packs and boxes, I mean, it's so much fun and anything, but like, I'm trying to remember like me growing up and, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, man, it's like Christmas or like, yes, whatever. I'm just going to go to the card shop and I'm like, or the card shop and just go grab a box or two kind of a thing. And, for sure it's not necessarily like the same feeling, which is something that me as a collector, I'm a huge collector. This, you know, as you said, like I did this before COVID, before it was cool. I collect many things more than sports cards and things of that sort. And that's one thing that I wish that I still, you know, kind of had for every single box and every single pack that we do. I still do that for a lot. You know, there's a lot of products that are like my favorite products, like a Topps Chrome or, like a National Treasures or stuff like that. You know, I'm pumped. I'm enjoying it and everything of that sort. But not that I'm not enjoying it the other times. It's just, it's not that same thrill that maybe you would have opening a box or maybe another average collector would have, just because, again, I've probably gone through tens of thousands, if not maybe even 100,000 plus boxes, at least, you know, through my quote unquote breaking career, if you would, which is like, again, astronomical number to think of. But, you know, when you break 200 plus boxes a day, you know, 5 days a week, kind of a thing, that's already a thousand boxes or a thousand packs a week, you know,
I mean, you don't take it for granted still, you know what I mean? Like, hey man, I still get to open like NT, like you mentioned, or your favorite, maybe personal, is Topps Chrome, you know, like it's still like, hey, this is still a cool product. Like I get to rip, you know?
Yeah, no, I always, you know, I'm very lucky and thankful that I get to enjoy this. And this is just another way for me to enjoy it. It's you know, because you never know when it might, you know, when it could potentially stop for whatever reason, kind of a thing, you know. And this wasn't something that I started to, you know, make a career out of or anything. It's just, that's that's just how it happened. You know, I was going to school. I was supposed to be an accountant. So I had three classes left, and I was going to be graduating to be, you know, like a full on taxation and going to taxation and things of that sort. And I was like, this isn't it for me anymore. Like this is everything that I planned for my whole life. And, you know, I'm like, I'm done. I'm not enjoying this anymore. And that was when I was, you know, kind of doing it part time and stuff like that. And, you know, money was okay. Money was good. And I was like, this is what I love doing. You know, I grew up on sports cards and collectibles, and, you know, almost like every store, you know, like my dad was big into it and got me into it as a kid. And, you know, I've been collecting for a very long time. I mean, we're approaching probably 25 years of, you know, me kind of enjoying and doing stuff like this. So I just wanted to be within the hobby, and I'm very thankful that I'm able to and stuff like that. So it's for sure the times where I get to open Topps Chrome and these other products, like I was saying, yeah. You know,
Adam, do not take it for cool. granted, man. The average guy, like collector like me, we don't get to open that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
look at like not just you, like a breaker. I look at like guys that just, you know, have money, right? And they can go out there, the Nate Turners of the, you know, Nat Turners of the world, whatever.
Sure.
You can just pull a box off a shelf, like a, you know, $2,000 hobby box, and just open it for fun. Like, do not lose that feeling, man. That's I wish I could do something like that.
And that's also why I like it, because it's not just me enjoying the break. It's more than one person. And there's cases where there's 30 people, or there's, you know, could be 200-300 people like that are enjoying this break of like hoping the cards of their players hit. And, you know, it's at a fraction of the cost. You know, as you said, you could spend $2,000 for a box, or you can get in for $20, $30, you know, or you can get in for $5, or you can get in for $500. You know, it doesn't, breaking is for everyone. It doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have. You just have to be smart and responsible with it. You know, the same as like buying singles or buying boxes for yourself or anything, because, you know, things can happen. You know, you might not get the card that you're looking for. You might not get your player that like of, you know, that you're rooting for, or your players or anything of that sort. So, or the cards that you're looking for. So, you know, it's something that, but again, that so many people I get to enjoy with every day. That's ultimately what I look forward to more now. It's like, you know, there's been guys that have been breaking with me for 7-8 years, like nonstop. And they're like, dude, you're the best. And I'm like, I appreciate that. I don't know what you see, but you know, it's been that's what I thoroughly enjoy, like,
yeah,
up there with ripping packs. Just don't, like those people, man, those friends that I've, you know, those customers that they're customers, but like I consider like friends within the hobby, that, you know, whether we've been buddies for 6 months or 6 years or anything like that. So that's the real fun part of me is, and, you know, we can talk back and forth, you know. They have their favorite teams, you know, I'm a big Detroit guy, of course. And so, you know, we get to have our friendly banner and stuff like that. So that's the fun side for me now, is enjoying it that way with other people.
So this may be an impossible question to ask or to answer. So I'll kind of generalize it a little bit more. Like, you open up cases upon cases, and like you mentioned, you don't even know how many, you know, wasted cellophane wraps and all that stuff you've done. But what are some of the most memorable cards that you've pulled on camera?
Oh, memorable. We hit a Tom Brady 101 Flawless autograph.
Oh, in, wow.
One of my first ever cases of Flawless football that I've ever opened. So that was a, like, again, being Michigan football and anything of that sort, Tom Brady, of course, the GOAT. So, you know, that was like breathtaking, even though, again, it's not my card. Like, this is someone else's card, like goosebumps, like, I'm looking down. I'm actually have a little bit of goosebumps. Like, just even think about it, just me being the collector and stuff like that. That
wow,
it was such a like once in a lifetime thing of hitting something to that caliber. And there weren't even really many autographs for him back. It wasn't like one of those things where he was in 40 different subsets and every card was a 1-1. So there, you know, there's only a handful of 1-1 Tom Brady's out there, and we were lucky enough to pull that for someone. That was a huge one. I always bring this one up because at the time, of course, you never knew it was going to be as big as it was. But with Flawless basketball, so staying on Flawless, 2018-19 would be Luka Doncic's rookie year. We were lucky enough to pull for someone one of the true rookie patch autographs, numbered to 10. You know, big card at the time. Luka was hyped up in 2018, but this was before COVID and things of that sort, when, you know, things went absolutely crazy. And The same card numbered to 20, I believe, maybe 15, something not numbered to 10. Like a PSA 9, I believe it was, went for like $150,000 during COVID. So, like, you know, crazy money, you know, for a card numbered to 10 of anything. I mean, realistically, at the time, if they sold it at the right time, that card was once, you know, $200,000 that someone bought into for nowhere, you know, probably paid less than $1,000 for, you know, for a break for that spot and, you know, hit a big one. So those are always the two. I mean, we hit so many cool cards, like Jeter 101s, and, you know, I'm trying to think of some of the coolest things. I had the Jeter 101 had the Jumpman logo on it from the Air Jordan logo from his batting glove. So, I mean, just we've hit so many cards and so many cool pieces that, you know, I'm thankful that we were able to hit them for our customers. And, you know, just another enjoyable process of, like, you know, what can be in that box or what can be in that case or what can be in these cases for these people. And, you know, you hope it's something that they have been looking for, you know?
So, it's not all glory though. You mentioned it earlier. I think people need to realize, and I wanted to let people know, the listeners know that, you know, collect what you can afford, you know, collect responsibly. The same thing as gambling, you know, it's all fun and games and it's cool. And if you want to invest, you want to flip, more power to you. Just, you know, like I said, within your means, I would tell people that. Don't expect to pull a Tom Brady one of one every time you enter a break, right? Or a Luka Doncic RPA. A lot of times you're not going to get that. But if you collect within your means, you can still have fun and still collect. So I just want to let people know that.
Yeah, most times, you know, I've been doing this, like I said, like a crazy amount of boxes and packs and anything of that sort. And I've only hit one Tom Brady 101 autograph. So, you know, and I always tell people, and this is probably not what every breaker would even say. And, you know, I'm glad that you brought it up, but the smartest way to enjoy this hobby is collect within your means, and always singles is always a great way because you know exactly what you're buying. You know, it's not, might not be the thrill of like, man, what could be in that pack, but there are many times, and, you know, it is more so than not that, you know, it's not the cards that you're praying and hoping for of that big 101 or that big card worth thousands and tens of thousands of dollars. And the same goes with opening packs or opening up boxes that you would do so yourself, whether at home or in the card shop or anything of that sort. So that's the best way to collect is, you know, be within your means. Don't do anything that, you know, is abrupt of like, this next one is going to be the big hit. Cause you know, it might not, it's probably not going to be that. And I'll be the first one to tell you that. Cause it's never fun having to deal with that. Even with me, you know, and you know, you hear, you know, I won't go too much into detail, but you hear stories sometimes of people even contacting me and it's like, man, like, you know, I hope that you can, you know, they take it too far, you know, but that could be with anything within the hobby, whether it's breaking or buying too many cards or, you know, it's addicting. It really is. And, you know, it doesn't matter if it's just cards or any collectibles, even, you know, there's other things that are out there like that. You know, so, but for sure stay within your means and it's fun. And it's just another fun way to collect when you have the means to do so, whether it's a little bit of money, a medium size or a larger amount, it's just another way, you know, to enjoy this really fun hobby.
Yeah, use your disposable income, people. Don't use your rent money or your grocery money or, you know, that kind of stuff, or the money for the kids. So, you know, it's 100%. It's definitely fun, but collect within your means. Because, like, most of the time you're not gonna get that card. But you can still get good cards. You know, it's just maybe you're not going to get a $50,000 card. And full transparency here, I actually have never been in a break, just to let my listeners know. And I'm not against them or for them. I just personally haven't done it. I'm curious. I do kind of want to get into one, but there's always these stories you hear, and I'm sure, Adam, you know all about them and hear about them, but there are bad breakers out there. And how do you feel about those breakers and those stories when you hear, like, people don't get their cards, or they're hiding them, or they're stealing them, or, well, for whatever, you know, whatever bad story there is out there? What, I mean, that's bad for you because it makes you look bad if you're a reputable, you know, breaker. What do you tell people about that stuff?
Yeah, no, 100%. 100%. There's, unfortunately, it doesn't matter what industry you're in. There's always going to be people, you know, bad apples out there. You know, that's just what it is. I wish it wasn't that way. And you know, it is possible, you know, and that's do your due diligence. If it seems too good to be true, it probably potentially is, and that's whether you do breaks or you do something else. You know, like buying boxes that are like 50% off what they're selling for everywhere else, kind of a thing. And you know, it's just you have to do your due diligence with it. I say this story all the time to people. Back when Trey Lance was big in the hobby.
oh my God.
I guess every time we talk about it, I guess every story I have is flawless. So my apologies, not being anything more than flawless, but, you know, Trey Lance, for those that aren't familiar or newer in the hobby, I mean, his cards were going for an insane amount of money just based on potential. That's all that really was. And because he really showed nothing at the NFL level, you know. We hit his true 101 NFL Shield rookie autograph out of Flawless.
Wow.
Which at the time, this is what I was told by multiple people. There were Facebook offers on the card for multiple offers all over $100,000.
Oh my God.
So I don't know if the person ever took the offer. But that was that. If that was my card, I would have taken the money and I wouldn't have looked back. But neither here nor there, you know, you look at it now because, you know, you see he's a backup in Dallas. So, but anyway, I hit that card. And I know it's like a six-figure card, maybe like that sort of. I did not want to ship that card. Like, not that I wanted the card. I do not want the event. Yeah. Like, I want this Trey Lance owner to get this card. But, like, I do not want to put this in the mail. I do not want to be responsible for what is a very expensive card of a, you know, someone who hasn't really done anything of anything. So I actually, we figured it out. The guy lived in Boston. He actually flew to Detroit. I picked him up at the airport. He was literally in my car for maybe 10 minutes, gave him the card. And then he flew like into like Delta and then went somewhere else. So I had to drive him, you know, to the other side of the airport. And he was, you know, in the car for 10 minutes and anything like that. Like, you know, I wanted to hand it over to him in person so there were no issues of anything of that sort. So that's my story that I always tell of like, you know, like I want you to get the card because at the end of the day, I do this for a living. You know, this is my job. you know, if it appears that I'm doing something that I'm not supposed to be, that absolutely ruins of anything. So someone who's been doing it for so long, I mean, they have a lot more to lose. It's these stories of these people that just like pop up overnight.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Have been doing this for like 2 months, 3 months and hit that $100,000 card. Or maybe there's times where it could be like a $2,000 card.
Yeah,
they're like,
yeah,
screw this. I'm walking away with $2,000 kind of a thing. So, you know, it's just do your due diligence. There's unfortunately, no matter what, these policies, I mean, eBay put a lot of new policies in for, to do a lot more, I'm going to call it background checks, but not really background checks, you know, just being more stricter on who they allow to break on their platform. You know, so there's no like random pop-ups kind of a thing. You know, you hear stories on like Whatnot of, you know, these guys doing these things. There was just a big, soccer story where the guy hit one of the biggest soccer rookies, Lamine Yamal, 101, and just like disappeared overnight kind of a thing. And I mean, it's scary to say that, you know, I kind of share the profession with these guys, even though they're technically not in the profession. They're just kind of doing it just to do it kind of a thing. So it's unfortunately out there, and there's only so much that all of us can do. And it's unfortunate that, you know, it gives breakers a bad name, and rightfully so. You know, if I was new to it and I just saw that, I'd be like, oh, why would I ever go to break? I'm just going to do it myself. Cause I, you know, like I'm just going to open up a box of cards myself in my own home or a card trap. Cause I'm not going to steal from myself, you know, kind of a thing of anything. So, you know, I totally get it, you know, but there's a lot of us out there that have been doing this a long time, and we have more to lose than just taking someone's $2,000, $5,000, $10,000 or whatever, not speaking for every single breaker out there. But, you know, with me personally, I mean, listen, I'm a human being, my team, I mean, we got a bunch of employees, we're human beings. We do stuff under security footage and stuff of that sort, but we make mistakes. You know, there's sometimes it's $100 mistake. Sometimes it's $5. Sometimes it's a 500. Thankfully it's doesn't happen that often, but you know, we're human beings at the end of the day, it happens. And you know, for me, when we make a mistake like that, I owe you that card. You know, I don't want my like AMT doesn't give, you know, like I hit this $500 card and he didn't include it. You know, we've had to do it before. So, you know, and just break with someone that you trust with. It doesn't need to be me. You know, there's other good breakers out there. There's plenty of them. There's a handful of good ones on eBay that are like big, big breakers, and other platforms too, that, you know, if you want to give it a try, they're out there for sure. Just, you know, make sure you're doing your due diligence on that. This is something that we've been doing for a long time, you know?
Okay. Well, I'm not endorsing you, and I'm not endorsing you, but let the people know how they can get a hold or try to get in one of your breaks, Adam, just so if they do.
Yeah. So, an easy way, if you're not familiar with the eBay or, you know, not familiar on eBay, we do have a website. It's AMTMEM.com. So you can either do AMTMemorabilia.com. Not everyone knows how to spell memorabilia. I've been in this for a long time. Doesn't matter how big you are in memorabilia. Everyone's like, trying to figure out how to spell AMTMEM.com. That also is for our consignments as well. And you just click on the little link there and it takes you right to our eBay store page and you just see everything there. So if you're on eBay and you bought from us before, appreciate you. You know that. You know, I say it all the time. It can be found on AMT Memorabilia on eBay as well. And that's where we do all of our breaks, but it's just an easy way to get redirected to our eBay pages right through our website there.
So that's nice that you do it through eBay. So it's a little more sense of security than some guy who just stocked the shelves at Walmart and is doing it from his basement or something, right?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. And then but speaking of eBay, you also do something else on eBay, and that's consignments, right? So I talked to you, Adam, a few months ago when we first met each other, that you were, you know, you did it consignments, you had some big cards and things like that. Tell me about the consignment world and how's that going for you with eBay? Under the same umbrella, AMT Memorabilia?
Yeah, same umbrella. It's really cool. All right. That's kind of what we've been trying to push these last 2 years. We've been doing it for about 2 years. We built this platform on eBay where, as of right now, actually as of a couple weeks ago, we surpassed 20,000 followers on eBay. So that means people that have saved us as a seller, they get updates when we list new things. They see everything that we do and list and stuff of that nature. So, forever thankful and grateful that we were able to kind of get to that point and, just use our platform to help you guys. Whether it be you hit a card in one of our breaks and you want it listed immediately because, you know, the product just came out and you want top dollar for it, let's do it. It could be cards from your own collection. Like, you know, I know I listen to this podcast. I know you don't sell King. I know you only sell doubles and things of that sort. But, you know, when you always use your revenue, you try not to, you know, use your collectible funds kind of a thing. But, you know, there's times where cards or items like come up for sale and you're like, oh my goodness, like I didn't know this existed or I need this thing or stuff, and you might not be able to afford it. So, you know, you might have to sell some of your own collection or things of that nature and things of that. So we help with that, whether you're a superstar at eBay, a top rated seller, whatever, or you've never used or sold on eBay before and you only bought on it. So we get to offer you cheaper eBay rates than normal people would get themselves, even as a top rated seller. So that's a very easy selling point. Like I do the work and you actually save money. So, there's no like, oh, like, do you have an extra fee on top of that? No, it's all worked into what we do. Which is cool. So, we work best with items that sell for over $10. So cards or items, memorabilia, cause we do all that kind of stuff. We do comic books. I'm a big TCG guy. I'm a huge Pokemon Yu-Gi-Oh nerd. So, I mean, I'm very familiar with all that stuff and, we do that. We do currency even. Like there's some guys that send me like, you know, coins and stuff, love that stuff. I'm not as big into coins and things of that nature, but if I feel confident that my platform can help you guys and, you know, and you can help me along the way if I have a question, you know, when it comes to some of those things that I'm not as familiar with, like cards or TCG or memorabilia or stuff of that nature, we do that. So, but anything over $10, you're automatically saving money in eBay fees. And that's one of the easiest things just to say, because that's just what it is. And so many people say all the time, all of these eBay fees are so expensive. And I totally get it. They are, you know, they're higher up there, but it's also, there's no other platform out there that millions of people can see your item in literally just a search, you know, just a basic search. There's nothing that comes close to it, no matter what it is. So, you know, that's the way that I look at those fees of, you know, it's just so many potential people on there. So that's number one. Number two, we do all the work for you. We have a team that scans your items, that lists your items. You don't have to do any of that anymore. You save time. You know, if it's very time consuming, especially if you don't do it every day, you know, of like, oh, do I have to handle this? Do I have to do this? Or, you know, I have emails from potential buyers about questions, or I have to print a shipping label, or I have to go to the post office, and that all adds up. So, you know, and you're not only are you saving money, but you save time. And as I mentioned, you know, over $20,000 on eBay as of 3 weeks ago. There's just more people that could come across your item. You know, they might not be looking for whatever your item is, but they see I'm selling. They're like, oh my goodness, I want that card. Oh, I want this, or, you know, anything of that sort. So,
wow. That sounds like there's quite a bit of advantages by going through a consignment or through AMT. Just so, I mean, lower fees than eBay, you said, right? And then you don't have to do any of the work, the pictures, the description, all that stuff, the listing, right?
You don't have to do any of the work. Like I said, you know, there's a couple items and I've had to tell some items before. We don't do like there's some things like some bobbleheads. I mean, I know bobbleheads is a huge collectability thing. I mean, there's some things within the sports world that we really don't do too much of, but we do like Funko Pops and different things of that sort. But, you know, like the whole coins thing, cause I wouldn't doubt it if someone reaches out about a coin question and I'm going to be up here, you know, looking like a fool of like, cause I don't really know coins of anything of that sort. But, you know, just cause I do help a couple of my customers in that sense. And, you know, there's times where I do have to ask them like, hey, is it this, like, you know, like, I think I got this down right, kind of a thing. But usually 99.999% of the time don't have that question with sports cards, being I've been doing this so long, in a sense. But yeah, it's cheaper fees over $10. We have a unofficial like consignment drop off point at our good friend Luton's in Clawson. So he helps us out with that, where, you know, if you're kind of local to that, a great card shop, by the way, Luton's. On Main Street.
Yeah, one of my
That's where we met. So, yep. I mean, I've known Jason for a very long time, and he's a great shop for the area. And, you know, even if you're not from the area, he always makes sure it's stocked with good singles and good wax and all these things. It's not the biggest shop out there by any means, but, you know, he for sure knows how to use the space that he has, and he does an amazing job at it. But, you know, we take mail-in submissions, of course, and all that information can be found on our website. There's a submission form. Of course, you know, you can always, when you're at Jason's, if you hit a big card and you want to sell right away, he, you know, has us kind of do it for him. And, you know, we've helped Steve at Rochester Sports Cards as well, another amazing, you know, hobby shop owner and, you know, someone that I've known for a very long time. And I've helped him sell some items on there, and you know, and I believe even for a couple of his customers too. So, I mean, I try to use this to help everyone else out, and, you know, it helps me as well with marketing. That's the big takeaway that I get from this. I don't make a killing on these things. I really don't. But it helps me kind of continue to grow the brand and, you know, introduce people to group breaks and introduce people to, you know, what other cards we have selling and different things of that sort to kind of keep growing. But I try to make it as easy and helpful as we can for everybody.
Yeah. So, I mean, like you said, another positive or pro using you guys or any consignment is theoretically, like, you get more eyeballs on your listing, right? Like, than you would if I just listed it myself.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I mean, now you got me thinking. I need to grab maybe one of these or two of these Jordan cards I got and maybe put them up there so I can buy a bigger Jordan card.
There you go.
As you know, and as listeners know, I'm a big Michael Jordan PC guy. And you mentioned earlier, I usually only sell like the doubles or triples I have, but I've been actually thinking about consolidating my collection a little bit and trying to get bigger cards through that way.
Uh-oh.
So, and if you don't know, I also do YouTube. It's the same as the podcast, Kang Collects, Khang Collects. And the last three or four videos I've done now is I've been just showing off my Jordan PC, starting off from low-end bass stuff to a little bit more low-end inserts to mid inserts to higher-end inserts. So, I mean, they've been getting really good response. So if you want to check out my Jordan collection, please go on YouTube, find Kang Collects, subscribe, comment, like, all that stuff. But yeah, I've been going through it, Adam, and I've got a ton of Jordans. You know, I'm not the biggest. I mean, there's so many. You know this. There's like, I'm a small fish in a huge ocean of Jordan collectors. I feel like I got a decent collection, but there's some of these whales out here that, you know, they got these grails that I couldn't even imagine having. But there are cards that I feel like I could obtain if I just sold some of my Jordans. It's hard for me to do, Adam, but I might have to do it with this consignment, man.
It is, and that's kind of why I brought that up. That, you know, there's different ways of, as I've kind of said from the beginning, there's different ways of enjoying the hobby and collecting in this. And sometimes I've run into numerous amount of people that they only buy, they do not sell. And that is amazing, and props to them. I wish, you know, I had the means or the focus to do that, of what I'm like looking for and stuff like that. But there's also times where I'm like, I really want this card, and man, it's more than I wanted. Maybe I'm even overpaying, and you know, I don't necessarily have the means or want to spend this amount of money right now, but you know, maybe I let go of some of these other things, yep, whether rarity or, you know, that maybe I can pick these back up, these other, yes, items back down the line, maybe a year down the line, 2 years down the line, when this card doesn't make its appearance, you know, randomly, a super short print rare card or anything of that sort. So, you know, and that's the cool thing that I love about this hobby, is it doesn't matter how you collect, doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter, if you're just a collector or if you're just a flipper or you do both, then that's totally, and I say it all the time, I don't think there's a problem with doing both at all. You know, because I do it as well. Like, you know, I have to, maybe I try to make a few bucks on this thing, so that way, hey, now I can go get my grail card or my, you know, what I've been looking for, this or that sort. So, but there's no wrong way of doing this, you know. And, you know, you comparing yourself to, you know, some of the whales and stuff like that. I mean, I know who you're talking about. I'm familiar with them, you know, but it's just, it's, there's nothing wrong with, you know, collecting that the way that you do and stuff like that. But you know, it's when you're ready, you can make that jump. And then the same goes, hey, maybe I don't want this card anymore. Maybe I want to go the other way. Maybe I want 10 mid-end cards instead of this one super high-end card. And that's the fun of it, man. You can do it however you want. And then, you know, more so saying, you know, also to your listeners and things of that sort, there's no wrong way. As long as you're within your means and you have fun doing it, that's what I enjoy, is that doesn't matter how much money you may have or anything, you can have fun doing this.
Yeah, like you can use your cards, your collection right now, to supplement to get a bigger card. That way you don't have to dig into a, you know, real money that you need for your family,
for sure,
and whatnot.
Yeah.
And like you said, I, you know, it's not like I can't go back and try to get those other cards at some point down the line. So just, I'm thinking about, you know, what card pops up often and what card doesn't, you know? And so It's a marathon, people. It's not a sprint, especially if you're like a PC guy like me. I mean, there's so many Jordan cards that I couldn't possibly collect them all anyway. So it's part of the fun, though, is the hunt. And I will continue to hunt probably until I'm old and gray, you know, because I don't think I'll ever get them all, you know. So that's part of the fun, though. But yeah, you got me thinking about consignment now, Adam. So now I'm looking around and seeing, all right, who might have to go here, looking at my cards. But it's hard.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's whenever you're ready, you know, and that's what I tell people all the time. There's people that reach out to us and kind of, you know, like informational wise or anything like that. And it's, you know, and these are part of your collection. Like, you enjoy them. There's a reason that they are sitting on, you know, your desk or in a binder or in a box or anything like that. Like, at the time, you know, you thoroughly enjoyed it, you know. So it's whenever you're ready. And that's, you know, that's the thing, is just, you know, that I tell everyone, because they're like, man, I got to kind of move some of this stuff, but I don't know when I want to or anything like that, you know. And I hear it all the time. So you're for sure not alone. It's whenever you're ready, you know, I'm here. There's other people out there that are out there to help and anything like that. And then, you know, that's the fun, is that, again, you know, you can do this whenever, however you want and anything. So AMT is here to help. And, you know, there's other places out there that are, you know, able to help as well, you know, card, yeah, shops and things of that sort, that, you know, could help you do that trade, or, you know, buy those cards off you know, or you buy off them, you know, and just keep it going.
So one last thing though, like, so obviously like going through a big consignment place like yourself or anybody else, there's plenty of advantages to that, and you probably can't replicate that exactly on your own. But what are, do you have any tips for anybody that does list on eBay, like, you know, description, picture wise, or just maybe what, when should they list their listings, you know, and for how long, and when should they end, things like that? Do you have any tips for, you know, just your average Joe want to listing a card for 99 cents and let it go and see what happens?
Yeah. So I usually, you want to have items in later in the night, you know, not 3 o'clock in the morning, but also not like 4 PM, you know, like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock to about midnight is usually when we have things run. Usually we do 7 days. We offer special events that are sponsored by eBay where we actually are featured on eBay's front page with your items, like for these special events. So when we do events like that, we have them run 10 days, just for more views and eyes, just cause we get extra marketing purposes out of it. Sometimes it's smarter just to do a 1 day listing if it's a brand new product, or a 3 day listing, cause you have the options of doing that when, you know, there's products brand new, you're the first one out there, second one out there with it. It's probably realistically going to go for more than what it is 3-4 weeks down the line. So, that's, you know, it's kind of having it end during that time and just kind of figuring out the market of, you know, is it a brand new product, or is it, has it been out for a little bit? You know, how many people are looking for this item at that time? So like everyone's always looking for LeBron James cards. So you can't really, you know, quote unquote, mess up on that one. Everyone is always looking for, you know, superstars and stuff like this. But when you kind of get to the guys that might not have, you know, so many people looking for them, you know, that's kind of when we suggest even, you know, not going through us, but like buy it now, best offer. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, just because that person might not be looking for that card right at that time. So, you know, that kind of duration, stuff like that. Even though it looks cool, it might stop someone from looking, or, you know, stop in the middle of a search. Fire emojis and things of that sort do not help. Do not help the search results by any means. So you do not need to feel like you need to put a bunch of emojis like pointing out your card, because, you know, no one is, I don't think anyone is typing in a fire emoji in the search bar in hopes that I'm going to see everything that pulls up under that emoji. Yeah. Kind of a thing. So a good title, you know, include the player's name, include the set, include the parallel. There's some guys that literally just title it sports cards or something like that, or like Brock Purdy card. Yeah. You know, a little bit more, the more you put in that is relevant, you know, to the category or the player, like a team name or things of that sort. You know, it's just, you're putting in there what people are going to be searching. So if you put something in there, you're like, oh, this will grab their attention of anything. If no one is searching for that, it's not doing anything. So, you know, where team name comes into play, or, you know, one of one, or, you know, whatever the parallel is. And, you know, if someone's looking for a specific, like an orange refractor, you know, make sure that's in there. So, you have 80 characters, and, you know, it's better to use them all than kind of short yourself of anything of that sort. But, you know, specific details about the card in that sense, for sure help out. Just no emojis do not help.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Thank you. I see that sometimes, and I'm like, I don't know. Right? This is, I wasn't going to search fire emoji, and really didn't. I feel like they're overselling half the time, to be honest with you, when they put something like that. I'm like, okay, all right. I don't.
Yeah, no, they'll post a card for $30 when it's like a $5 card, and it has the fire emoji, so clearly that makes it three times as valuable. Yeah, so
exactly. All right, good advice, good points, good tips, man. Well, he's Adam Michaels, the president of AMT Memorabilia. If you want to get into any of his breaks, amtmem.com, right? And also he does the consignments that you heard us talk about on eBay, and does do the breaking through eBay too. So AMT Memorabilia, go and search them, save the seller, all that stuff. Adam, I know you're a big collector of everything else too, you know, vinyl, toys, things like that. And so I got to get you back on the podcast to talk about that stuff at some point. Are you making a deal or what, man?
Yeah, King. No, whenever you're ready, man. And I appreciate again this opportunity. And I'm so glad that we met at Luton's when we did. And, you know, it's super cool. You got me on the podcast listening to everybody else, you know, kind of talking DC Sports and Koontz and all those guys on everything. So I'm, as a collector, thankful that you put this out here for those, just to gain more knowledge within the hobby. And It's pretty cool. So whenever you're ready, man, TCG, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, shoes. I'm looking around the room. Vinyls.
Oh, man.
I got Stein guitar, shoes.
Oh, my.
I got everything, man. So dude, it sounds like collectible, I probably have it, so.
It sounds like you live up to the slogan of the podcast. If you can collect it, we'll talk about it. Well, Adam, you collect it. So, I mean, we'll touch base with all that stuff. That sounds good, man. I appreciate you coming on. We'll have you back on for sure.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
So, everyone, thanks for listening. AMT Memorabilia is the place. Go ahead and search them out. You'll find them pretty easy on eBay. I want to remind everyone, if you do want to see some of my Jordan collection, I do have Instagram as well. It's Kang Collects, K-H-A-N-G Collects, just like the podcast on Instagram. And I post mostly Michael Jordan cards, if you're into that or not. And I'll post links to podcasts like this one right here so you can download. And as always, people, collect within your means. Keep collecting. Collect to have fun and enjoy it. Thanks for listening.